Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Give somebody a high five. Tell them you are blessed. And you may please be seated. This is the church of the blessed people. God bless you. It's like we should just share the grace and go home. We've had a wonderful time in God's word. You might not know that we have traversed between the old covenant and the new, even in this confession. But so that it will not be on record that I didn't preach, let me take a few minutes, and somebody had better say amen to that. Amen. This is the week of Christmas. How do you guys feel? Look beyond the economy. Look to what God has done. You are blessed beyond the economy. You have something that money cannot buy. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let life squeeze you. Let life come against you. Let life do whatever it likes. You are going to bounce back. Amen? Amen. The bounce back power is in you because Christ is in you. That's why I pity people who are not born again. Those who don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ this morning, you better give your life by the time I'm wrapping up this message. And if you used to know him, you know what I mean? You used to know him. You better reconnect. The days in which we live and the days ahead are very challenging. And they're going to be more challenging as the return of the Lord draws nearer. We have the prophecy in Luke 21 and verse 36. And the surrounding verses. That men's hearts will be filling them. Men's hearts will be filling them. Because of the things that are coming upon the world. Give it to me in KJV. KJV, KJV, KJV. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Why? So that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. If you backpedal a little bit to verse 25 and 26. Verses 25 and 26. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations. What are we having right now? Distress of nations. Nations are distressed. It's not just a Nigerian problem. The UK, the US, Canada, this several countries that we like to jackpot to are also dealing with issues right now. Perplexity of nations. Distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring. Next verse, verse 26. Men's heart. Men are having heart failure right now. Men's heart failing them. Failing them. Why? Because of fear. Failing them for fear. And because they are looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. These are the days in which we live. Before the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory. So it's getting darker in the world. However, in your life as a child of God, it should be getting brighter. When you remember that Jesus is coming again, you should be smiling. When you go through issues and challenges, tell those issues and challenges, don't worry, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And I'm going to be out of here any moment from now. Glory be to God. That should be your disposition. Don't cave in under the weight of your challenges. Don't allow the devil crush you with the challenges that he brings your way. Jesus is coming soon. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is coming soon. Glory be to God. I have for a title this morning, The Birth That Changed Everything. The birth, B-I-R-T-H, that changed everything. And I'm going to be in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to take a few verses there from verse 1. The Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 1. I'm going to read just a few verses. Glory be to God. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, where he was living, into Judea, his hometown, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem, by meaning, actually, is a Hebrew word. Beth means house. Anywhere you see Beth in the Old Covenant, it means house. So when they say Bethel means the house of God. So when we say Bethel worship, Bethel means the house of God. Bethlehem means bread. So Bethlehem means the house of bread. And it will amaze you that was actually where Joseph came from. Because he was from the city of David. Now look at this. Which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now Jesus is the bread of heaven. And he came from the lineage of David, who came from the house of bread. So he was actually the bread in Bethlehem. Glory be to God. If you're hungry, do you know what to feed on? Feed on Jesus. If you are thirsty, drink on Jesus. If life is pressing you out of control, feed on Jesus. You see, the days in which we live, man can hardly do anything for you. People are perplexed everywhere. The people you run to help you are also running around for help. So you better put your trust in Jesus. You better build your life on Jesus. You better build your faith on Jesus, because these are the days that the just shall live by his faith, according to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. Are you getting what I'm saying? And your faith has to be based on the words of Christ. Romans 1 17, the Bible tells us, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the original manuscript, it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing rhema Christos. Rhema means spoken word, and Christos means Christ. In other words, you may be reading your Bible, but let Christ, the living word, speak to you. If he doesn't speak to you, it doesn't mean much. You may be listening to a sermon like this, but let Christ speak through the minister to you, to your situation. That's when faith comes. Sometimes when I'm done preaching, people walk up to me and say, oh, Pastor, thank you. That word was for me today. I say, oh, glory be to God. And they say, you said I should do so, so, and so. I say, really? Did I say that? That's what they heard. And that's their own word. That's their own rhema. When Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is written down. Was that what he said? Talk to me. What did he say? Every word that proceeds out of where? The mouth of God. That is the spoken word called rhema. R-H-E-M-A. The written word is logos. The spoken word is rhema. It is from the rhema you get faith. It is by rhema you live. You can be meditating on your scriptures on your own in your room, and something will jump out of the pages. One word, one phrase, one sentence, one clause, and it will jump at you. And you know, man, this is my word. This is my word. That's your rhema. And that's what you're supposed to run by and run with. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you go to the exam hall and things are going topsy-turvy, you remember the rhema that God gave you in your room. And you bring that rhema now to the fore. That's how we win every battle. There must be a rhema from God. I remember when the Lord gave me, and in nothing shall I be ashamed. Philippians 1:20. My mother's funeral was coming up. Church convention was coming up. Two major events that were capital intensive. And the money was low. How are we going to do it? We're still trying to raise funds for the convention. Now my mama died. I can't keep her body in the mortuary forever. I have to bury her. I'm the first child. For crying out loud. So I was feeding on the word of God. Now I had an option. What other option? To beg people. Slide into their DM and say, hey, can I get some help? Hey, can I get some money? Hey, can you send me some money? Hey, can you do this for me? Okay. Now, let me tell you something. When you live like that, you lose your you call it steez in your own language, but you lose your self-respect. You lose your dignity. Every human being is created with dignity. dignity. Dignity cannot be bought with money. When you begin to lose dignity, you are in trouble. When you call and people begin to reject your call or to ignore your call, you are losing something that money can never, ever give you. The Bible says, I believe Proverbs 22 verse 1, a good name is better, is more desirable than great riches. Put them side by side. Great riches, a good name. The Bible says, don't go for great riches. Go for a good name. In German, they will say, a good name. Name. Good name. A good name. A good name. Because a good name will outlive you. A good name will go to your generations and begin to open doors and continue to open doors for your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. A good name. Every time the children of Israel sinned against God and God looked at them and felt like wiping them out, he would say, but because of my covenant with Abraham, my friend. What a good name. What a good name. In Psalm 89, when God was talking about David, from verse 34, behold, I found David my servant. No, from verse 20, I think he said, from verse 20, Psalm 89, behold, I found David my servant. Behold, I found David my servant. Behold, I found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. And God began to talk about what he would do for David, how he would beat down his enemies before his face. When they come against him, I will beat them down. He wouldn't have to fight. I will be the one to fight for him. Somewhere down the line in that scripture, God said that when his seed mess up, when they mess up, when they go after other things than God, he said, I'm going to deal with them, but I will not withdraw utterly my mercies from them because of David, my servant. Can God say, because of you, I'm going to preserve your generations yet unborn? Think about it. Tell your neighbor, don't lose your good name. What am I telling you, therefore? Learn to develop your faith. Whatever God doesn't give me, I don't need it. Beware of covetousness. Young people, beware of covetousness. Somebody brings an Escalade to church and you can't sleep. Ah, God, the Lord God of Escalade. Escalade, when is my own Escalade coming? Develop your faith. Beware of covetousness. Develop your faith. The days in which we live are very challenging. Develop your faith. So you don't begin to lose your dignity. All that God gave me that paid the bills of the convention and the bills of my mother's funeral 2019 was the word of God. Rhema. I was in my office feasting on the word of God, as usual. Feasting on the word of God. And I was in Philippians 1:20. Paul wrote that scripture. I wasn't there when he was writing it. I was reading the writing of Paul. But the Holy Ghost put his finger on it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of your word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:17, the eyes of my understanding being lit up, being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling. And I was reading, I was feasting on that Philippians 1:20, and I saw in my earnest expectation, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in some things I shall not be ashamed. How about some other things? Huh? In most things, I shall not be ashamed. What did he say? In nothing will PFE be ashamed. So no matter who comes against me, no matter what comes against me, I have a word to war with. Listen to me, church. Maybe I've not taught you this before. When God gives you a word like this, a rhema, war with it. You go to war with it. You don't go to sleep with it. You go to war. You go to work. You go to school. You go to business with that word. That's how you make a difference. Not by getting the word and going back to sleep. You take that word to your shop as you open in the morning. You decree the word. Decree the word. What God gave you, say it. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Every day I began to shout it. In nothing will I be ashamed. In nothing will I be ashamed. In nothing will I be ashamed. I came to church. I started shouting in church. Church, in nothing shall we be ashamed. In all the money we needed for the convention came without sweat. That year, we had excess money after the convention. Few weeks. I put my mom's burial to November because ablaze was October. November came, all my bills were paid without sweat, without owing anybody a dime after my mom's funeral. Nobody pulled my shirt. Pastor, you have not balanced me. Nobody. I didn't have the opportunity to owe anybody. I am telling you, this is how to live. Get the word of God for yourself. Open your Bible. What you are looking for in Sokoto is in your Sokoto. Open your Bible. It's the manual for your life. Instead of closing the manual and asking your neighbor how your fan works, like we do in Nigeria, you go to buy a new fan that you need to assemble. You put it down. The manual is inside. You keep it there. Then you go and ask your neighbor. Neighbor, I know you have my type of fan. Please, can you tell me how it works? You have the manual. As far as Nigeria is concerned, maybe you can get away with that. Overseas, you won't get away with that. You can leave, you can share flat with someone overseas or share apartment with someone overseas, and in 1 year, you don't get to see each other. They run different shifts. You run different shifts. And especially if you live in the UK, they hardly even greet you. Your neighbors don't greet you. You don't greet them. Everybody walks. You just walk away. America can say, hey, hello, my neighbor. How you doing? Your Bible is the manual for your life. Open it. Luke chapter 2. Are we there? If you leave this man alone for the next 1 hour, you're going to be here, but I'll make sure that I cut this short in righteousness. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Somebody say by night. You must understand that these shepherds were there keeping watch over their flocks by night. Business was done for the day. Nobody's grazing in the night. They were just there keeping watch over them so that the cattle rustlers would not come and steal their sheep. They were there in the night. The DJ had packed his equipment. No more dum dum bam. Dum dum bam. You know, when the wedding reception is over, DJ will pack his equipment. After party is over. The caterer has gone home with all our utensils. The decorator has removed or has started removing decorations. In the night. The night time of the world at this time, before Jesus was born, was really very dark. It was dark because Adam had sold us out to Satan. And Satan was having a field day. Who do you think provoked Cain to kill his brother Abel? Was that the Holy Spirit? Come on, talk to me, church. I read the Bible and I believe in sense, common sense. I have Holy Ghost sense and I have common sense. I'd like to think. Was it the Holy Ghost that inspired Cain? Cain, get up now. Kill your brother. Offer him as an offering to God because God is hungry. Hello? Come on, expression us. Hello? I hope nobody's on their phone. Hello? It was Satan that did that. Why could he do that? Because Adam had given him power to become the God of this world. And he began to run the world anyhow. He convinced some people that were ladies. He told them that they were born men. They in their gene that they were men originally. So they began to behave like men. Dress like men. Talk like men. Act like men. But your physiology, your body physiology already gives you out. You're a woman. One small girl, not far from here, some time ago was saying, I'm a different girl. And I know my girls, my kind of girls. You? All girls are the same. All men, all boys are the same. Physiologically, you did physiology in your premed days, anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. Faculty of Basic Medical Sciences. My uncle, one of my late uncles, was a professor of physiology. And I had the privilege of visiting the lab a couple of times. I had peeped through the anat lab before. Anatomy, very scary. They don't have dead fishes in that place. They have cadaver, human being. I have a professor of anatomy who is my friend. He's about 94 years old now. He's the longest living medical anatomist alive, Professor Desalu, Ebio Desalu. There's a lecture theater to his honor in UI. He's my friend. He likes me. I like him too. Sometimes I look at him and say, how did you survive those days of active? He's still in service anyway. He's still consulting with Bowen or so. Very scary. But those people can tell you, human beings are all the same. But Satan entered through the thoughts. And that is how he enters our lives. Listen. And that is also how God enters our lives. When God wants to enter our lives, it will come through our thoughts. When Satan wants to enter our lives, it will come through our thoughts. Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Yes. Give it to me in KJV. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So before the birth of Jesus, the whole world was in chaos, was in darkness. Cain killed Abel. There was war. All of a sudden, the daughters of Lot had an idea. They came up with an idea that there was no man on earth to marry them. How about the servants of Abraham, their grand uncle, who had 318 servants in his house? How about Ishmael? How about other male in the world? They said, no man, there is no man on earth to marry us. So they came up with an idea. The elder sister spoke to the younger sister. You know what we're going to do? Do you know who gave them the idea? Tell me the name of the person that gave them the idea. Satan. He just gave the elder sister an idea. Hey, babes, you need a man. You need a man. You need a man. He's still telling babes in the world today, you need a man. Doesn't matter how you get him. Just get yourself a man. You need to get laid. Body no be wood. God understands. Yeah, I mean, you need a man as a lady. Every lady needs a man. If you're a normal lady, you need a man. And every man needs a lady. It's legitimate. It's not wrong. But how you get it will determine whether it is right or wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Satan saw the idea that there is no man in the world. Now listen, could that ever be true? Please talk to me, church. So we have a daddy. He's a man. Was he a man or not? Interactive session. Was he a man or not? But was it right for them to have carnal knowledge of their father like they should with their husband? Should there be a difference between a father and a husband? They turned their daddy to their sugar daddy. They put sugar right in front of it. And they mixed wine, gave it to the man, cooked him some good meal. Daddy, you need to drink. You have really tried. You don't work. You don't try. It is now time for you to jaye. That's why you need to be careful the kind of music you listen to. Some of them had been before. They had just been reawakened. They sang it to their father. Abba, Lot, Uncle Lee. Papa Lee, yo. And they mixed the drink and he drank it. Papa drank it, lost his senses. Because when you drink, you are now under the influence of alcohol. Your normal senses are suspended. That's why a man could drink and say, if I catch Tunubu, I will squeeze his neck. Well, try it. The man is available, is in Abuja. Perchance, if you have access to him, squeeze his neck. Let's see what becomes of you. Right from that moment. Now, Papa lost his right thinking. As he thinketh in his heart, he began to misbehave. The girl seduced him. He slept with his own daughter. At that moment, it didn't make any difference whether it was his wife or a daughter. There was just a woman around. And under the influence of alcohol, he impregnated his own daughter. And then the daughter sold the idea to the second daughter, the younger daughter. And she was convinced and she did the same. And they produced children. They became pregnant. I'm sure by the time they became pregnant and barely protruded, Lord would have asked them, are you ladies okay? You didn't show me any man. You didn't bring any man to this house. How did you get pregnant? And they'll say, there's one boyfriend actually somewhere. They wouldn't tell him you did it. That would have been a big fight. Maybe they still deceived him till they gave birth. But probably they told the story to their children. They gave birth to Moab and Ammon. Confusion started in the earth because of Satan. Because Adam gave his authority to Satan. So, father was sleeping with daughter. Till today, people still do incest. Sex in the family. Brother against sister. Father against daughter. Such father should be castrated and kept in prison for life. Because they don't deserve to live among normal human beings. Your daughter that came from your loins, there's no other beautiful woman in the world. Your daughter just suddenly became, you know? You see, that's how Satan enters our lives. Through our thoughts. As a pastor, you are not exempt. You just may be normal doing your work, but suddenly one day you just see some, be careful. Satan is entering through your thoughts. And it could be from church member to pastor too. That's why you know the bad. Bad in Jesus' name. Amen? Some things are really terrible. The terrible things that people do. Let's leave that. So the world was in chaos. They were in the night. In the night, Satan operates a lot. In the darkness, he's the prince of darkness. He believes he's the master of the night. But you see, before God, the day and night are the same. So God is king of all. But Satan has convinced himself that he's the master of the night. And so he likes to walk in darkness. That's why Psalm 74 verse 20 says, have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of this world are full of the habitations of cruelty. This was the state of the world. But God said, I'm not going to keep watching while Satan is having a field day. I so love the world, I'm going to send my only son, my only begotten son, that whoever believes in the son should not perish but have eternal life. And that son was born. Luke chapter 2. An angel came from heaven to herald his birth. Where did we stop? Verse. Sorry, I was in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 2. Verse. Now, verse 9. And lo. Somebody say lo. Hello. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were extremely afraid. Why? Listen. Sunday school will tell you they were in the night, and then an angel appeared in the sky. Hello. And there was a little flicker of light around the angel. No, sir. No, ma. Read it again. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and what shone all around them? Say it out loud. When the glory of the Lord appears, does it look like candlelight? Bright, blinding light that turned their night into broad daylight. They had never seen that before in their lives. That was why they were sore. They were extremely afraid. Imagine it. 2 a.m. You were sleeping and then you woke up. Everywhere was dark. No thanks to NEPA or IBEDC or whatever DC. Right? Everywhere pitch darkness. And all of a sudden, everywhere became so bright like afternoon. What? It's 2 a.m. Culture shock. When you travel abroad during winter, by 4 p.m., that's what happens. It will be dark. Very dark in the UK, in the US. I don't know about other countries. And when they change their season, there's another season. I think it's summer now. In summer, 9 p.m. can still be like our 4 p.m. 9 p.m. So they reset their clock normally so that kids can go to sleep. You can go to bed because you're going to school the next day. Still very bright at 9 p.m. And another season, by 4 p.m., it's pitch darkness. They went the night. And night became full-blown day. What? They were afraid. They were scared. They had never seen that before. The glory. They had never seen the glory of the Lord before. So what did the angel say? This is how I close. What did he say? Verse 10. And then the angel said unto them, because he knew they were fear stricken. He said, fear not. Every time an angel of the Lord appears, if it's from the Lord, he will tell you to fear not. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Yes, are you still here? Yes, tell your neighbor, say, fear not. Yes, he said, for behold, I bring you good tidings of small joy. Yes, good tidings of little joy. Good tidings of some kind of joy. How great is the joy? Which shall be to how many people? That was the birth that changed everything. That turned our night into broad daylight. That took away our depression, our sorrows, our sicknesses and diseases, our sins. For surely, Isaiah 53 verse 5, KJV, for big but he was wounded for our trans. Give me verse 4. Isaiah 3 verse 4. Surely, somebody says surely. Isaiah was prophesying about the birth and the death and resurrection of Christ. He was looking into the future by the help of the Holy Spirit, and he was prophesying what he was coming to do. And he said, surely. Somebody say, surely. I don't like that surely. Say, surely. Your surely sounding like probably in my ears. Make it like surely. Say, surely. He had borne our griefs. No more grieving in our lives. The night time was the time of grief, time of sorrow. But Christ has come. He has been born. Amen. And so he has carried our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. No more sorrow in your life. All right? No more sorrow in my life. He has carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yeah, move on to the next verse. I need to wrap up this quickly. But he was wounded. Now, listen, we don't normally stay this long, especially when I'm still in the middle of my message. But I have to cut it short because of time. The choir, they've taken my time, but that's fine. I love them. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Does that include your transgressions?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord, only one quarter of the church said yes, sir. Does it include all your transgressions?
Yes, sir.
Every transgression.
Yes, sir.
Past, present, future.
Yes, sir.
Good news. Good tidings of great joy. That God is no longer angry with us. Woo! God is not your enemy. God is your friend. Does that sound like good news?
Yes, sir.
That all your sins have been forgiven. Does that sound like good news?
Yes, sir.
That God is not holding up anything against you. Does that sound like good news?
Yes, sir.
It is good news. Hey, brother, God is not your enemy. You know, I don't know how to please this God as I'm running away from him. No, don't run from him. Run to him. That's where your safety lies. The devil will deceive you to run from God, run from church, so he can give you a knock on your head that you will nurse for the rest of your life. A knock that you will nurse. Don't take away my scripture. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. He was malhandled. They bruised. They removed his beard. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement. You don't understand that. The punishment that brought us peace. He was punished that we might have peace. He took the punishment. How many of you would like your whole class messed up in school and your professor said, I'm going to punish the whole class. And all of you said, please forgive us. And then professor said, can one of you volunteer to take the punishment of the entire class? That could mean an extra year. Doesn't matter. Who will volunteer? Your dad has a lot of money to spend. 3 extra years in UI. Even if he does have the money, do you want that kind of shame? Do you want that kind of record? So the question he will ask is, am I Jesus? But that was what Jesus took for us. The punishment that was due all of us. Meanwhile, he was not in the class when we committed that punishment. When we committed that offense. No, be our classmate. Are you guys what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
He showed up and said, hey, professor, put it on me. Ah. He took my extra year. Everybody deserves extra year. He took it. Took my pain. My sin. My sickness. My poverty and lack. Ah! How are we supposed to treat this Jesus? Are we not supposed to love him? Are we not supposed to now live for him who died for us? He went to the extent of dying in our place. That and much more he did for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes,
we are healed.
So when Satan now brings a sickness upon your body, you don't pamper it and nurse it and say, well, it's our family sickness. It's genetical in nature. It goes from generation to generation. My friend, wake up from your spiritual slumber and claim what Christ has done. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
What did he purchase with his blood? He purchased your healing. So take the healing and give the sickness back to the devil, because to him it belongs. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, your womb cannot carry baby. We had a sister in this church that had blocked fallopian tubes. The power of God opened it in one service. The fallopian tubes were opened by the power of God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus paid the price. I followed them. I took them to a hospital to go and see an O&G expert where we registered when my wife was going to have the first child. And the man, a doctor, a senior doctor in UCI, looked at me and said, Pastor Elegbe, how did this happen? Because they got the lab result. Fallopian tubes blocked. Now fallopian tube open. How did this happen? I said, sir, Jesus. Say, it had better be that Jesus. You people can, you better continue going to that church. That was what he told them. I was with them as their pastor. Tell me a situation that Jesus cannot turn around. It was night, but his birth signaled a new day. It took an angel to come and announce it. The angel was later joined by other angels, a company of angels. And what were they doing? They were rejoicing and praising God. They said, joy. That's why we got the song, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is born. Let us go back to my Luke chapter 2. Media, Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Verse 11. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Yes. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel. There was with that angel. There was with the angel. There was with the angel a multitude, innumerable company of angels. What were they doing? Praising God. And what were they saying? Exactly what we say in the expression of, say glory! The angels were saying glory to God. Woo, 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 woo! Glory to God! In the highest. And on earth, what? And what? And on earth, what? Peace. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Our sin taken care of, sickness and disease taken care of, poverty and lack taken care of by the birth of the Messiah. One birth that changed everything. Have you been blessed this morning? Stand on your feet, everybody. The shortest message preached in 2025 of the world. I want you, therefore, church, to celebrate this Christmas very thoughtfully. Please listen to me. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions to people for whom nothing has been prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord your God. And neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. But listen to me. Beyond the eating and drinking and sending gifts to people who don't have anything, I want you to please preach this good news. This is what has been handed down to us. Not the philosophy of men, but the good news that Christ is born. That Christ is born. That Christ is born. Preach it. Tell somebody. You may not have all the scriptures like PFE. Don't worry about that. With one word, God will use you, use your mouth to turn somebody who is on the highway to hell back to the kingdom of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is everybody listening to me right now? This is how to celebrate Christ. It is not time to go and sleep around with your boyfriend or girlfriend and say, oh, it's Christmas. You don't celebrate the birth of the Savior. The Savior that saved from sin. You don't celebrate his birth with sin. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There are some people, when they are doing their fast, they stay away from alcohol. They stay away from women. And they stay as pure as they can for about 30 days. I don't know how long it is. But when they want to tune our way, when they want to break their fast, they get alcohol ready. They get their babes ready. Their girlfriends, their side chicks. That is how they break. And so, another one calendar year, they will stay away. They call it the month of running away from sin. Oshu, Yoeshe, Yoeshe. You run away. But when you are done, when you are coming down from the mountain of holiness, you come down to the pit of immorality. That is not how to celebrate Christmas. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Is somebody listening to me? This is the season to tell somebody, Christ is born. Christ is born. He wasn't just born. He gave up his life so that you might have life. You are not supposed to be living under the dominion of sin, sickness and disease, Satan, poverty and lack anymore. Now, Christ has gone to heaven. He died and rose again and went to heaven. But can I say this to you? This same Jesus is coming back again. The angel said to them in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and I think it's verse 11. Can I have that quickly on the screen? As those men were looking, they were looking as Jesus was going to heaven, as he was ascending on high. They were looking. Ah! Yeshua HaMashiach. They were looking. The angels appeared to them and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? They were looking. Ah! I can see that spot of where he entered heaven. Ah! Angel said, hey, stop gazing up there. Don't live all your life gazing up. If we are still gazing till today, there will be a lot of accidents. You go to the bathroom gazing. How do you cook in the kitchen? How do you go to school? Your lecturer. Say, why are you gazing? This same Jesus. This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Jesus is coming back again. He will come from the clouds. All eyes will behold him. We will gaze again. For now, stop gazing. But that time is coming, that day is coming, which only the Father knows. We will gaze. His birth, his first coming to the world, was heralded by angels. Guess what? His second coming is being heralded by angels again now. There is increased angelic activity all over the earth right now. They're in a hurry. Angels are excited because on God's timetable, on God's calendar, there is an event that is about to take place. The next major event that will shake the world is the second coming of Christ. He will come again. As surely as he went to heaven, he's coming back again. Are you ready? If you are not ready, you'll be too late. You'll be sorry for yourself. You'll be sorry that you ever laughed, because laughter will turn to mourning if you don't make it with the first batch. The first batch is the best batch. I want to go with the first batch when he appears. Are you ready? If he appears today, are you ready? Are you ready to go with him? Because this same Jesus is coming back again. This same Jesus, God bless you, is coming back. This same Yeshua head of the church. He came as the lamb, but he's not coming back as the lamb. He's coming back as the lion. Because he's both the lion and the lamb. All eyes closed. His birth changed everything. Would you allow his birth change you? Is there anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor Fred, I'd like you to pray with me because I'm not sure that if he comes back today, today, Pastor, let him come tomorrow, please. No, he might come today. Nobody knows the timetable, only God knows. But there is increased angelic activities on earth. Angels have been in this service since we started. And they've been working with us, working with me, working with you. They are here. They are excited. They are urging us on. Don't backslide. Don't backslide. For those who are backsliding, they say, hey, hey, respond to that call. Pastor Fred is going to make an altar call. Go, go out, go out, go out. Surrender, because Jesus is coming for you. He wants to take you home. Don't lose that transportation. Free ride home. Anyone this morning in this service that will say, Pastor Fred, please pray with me. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. I want to surrender again. I've surrendered before, but I didn't fully understand it. Or maybe I just made some mistakes. But I honestly, I don't want to miss Jesus when he comes. I want to reconnect now. If you're such a person, put your right hand on your chest where you are. You want me to pray with you? Nobody's shaming anybody. Put your right hand on your chest. You might have done it 10 times before. It doesn't matter. Do it again. Be sure this time that when it comes, you'll be ready to go with him. Put your right hand on your chest. All eyes closed. Nobody looking around. If your right hand is on your chest, say these words of prayer with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, say it out loud if you're not ashamed. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. The Bible says, Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe it. The Bible also says, he rose again for my justification, to treat me just as if I've never sinned. I also believe it. Dear Jesus, come into my heart right now. Be my Lord and my personal Savior. Come, Lord Jesus. Give me the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Come, Lord Jesus. And when you return, take me home.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.